The opinions expressed in this podcast are individual and not necessarily representative of Spirit Live or Toronto Metropolitan University. Thank you for listening.
Hey guys, I'm Pat.
I'm Sammy.
And we're your concert BFFs. So what are you waiting for?
Grab your front row ticket and
let's talk tour. Hey guys, welcome back to Let's Talk Tour, episode 5. Oh my gosh.
I can't believe it's episode 5.
I know. It feels so, so crazy. How have you been, Sammy? I know you went to a concert since the last time we talked, so.
Yeah, I've been good. I'm getting ready for my Olivia Rodrigo trip. I leave in like 3 days. Mm-hmm. It's going to be fun. Very long, but very fun. And also, I went to a Ryan Beatty concert, actually. I think a week ago-ish, 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
It was so good. I just recently got into Ryan's music, but, like, I listened to his album and I connected with him immediately. So I bought tickets.
What kind of music is it?
It's, like, Frank Ocean vibe. Okay. Like, it's very chill, but it's, like, it's pretty sad and relatable. But, like, he has an amazing voice. You know that Brockhampton song, Sugar?
Yeah.
He's the one who sings at, like, the beginning. This
What? Yeah,
he's not in Brockhampton, but he's the one who does
Wait.
Like, yeah.
That's so crazy. So
he has an amazing voice, and the show was so good. It was literally just him and his band, but it was so chill. The fans were so chill. We actually got to meet him before the show.
Oh, really?
Which was so awesome. He was so nice.
For free?
Yeah, for free, too. Wow. We just saw him walking in, and he was like, hey, like, what's, like, because we got there pretty early.
Mm-hmm.
But the crowd was chill, the concert was amazing, and his voice was just, it was so good. How about you? How have you been?
I've been pretty good. It was my birthday last week.
Woo! And
I turned 22, my big Taylor Swift year. So
I don't know about you.
I will be getting Eras tickets.
Yeah, that's a sign.
It's a sign. But yeah, it was really chill. I hung out with Sammy and our friends. We went to karaoke.
So fun.
Had our fun kiki. And yeah, you know, I don't feel any different, but I'm excited to see what 22 will bring.
Absolutely. It's going to be a good year.
So let's get into this week's episode. I feel like one thing that we haven't delved into too much this season is the logistics, specifics, and craziness of traveling and camping for a concert, which is something that Sammy and I have put ourselves through time and time again. So we are pretty educated in this topic. And I feel like in past episodes, we are trying to be, you know, gearing towards more like local concerts and people who are attending shows in their local city. But this one is for the girlies who, you know, either traveled for concerts like us before or haven't and want to know kind of how we pull it off.
Mm-hmm.
So this episode is for the camping craziness and the traveling craziness. So we're going to take you guys through our thought process and the do's and don'ts and all that fun stuff. So first of all, let's get into why camp. I know that there's a lot of discourse with like camping for shows and lining up freakishly early, but why do we personally camp? I know, especially for shows that I'm going to like out of the country. I mean, if you're traveling out of the country for a show, you kind of want the best spot.
Yeah, for sure.
So especially, so if it's a first come, first serve venue, I'm kind of like a go big or go home, you know?
Literally, yeah.
Like if I have GA for a show in like LA, it's like, okay, might as well just line
camp.
Up.
Like you spent so much money to be there, you might as well just camp.
Yeah, exactly. So Sammy, what's the first thing that you consider when you're like planning a trip and a concert outside of the country?
I feel like the first thing I would consider is like who I'm going with. I don't know. It could work for some people, but for me, I don't think that I would be able to go on like a trip where I like camp for a show or like go to a show and not be with people that I know.
Mm-hmm.
So my first like process would be like, who am I going to go with? And my friends on Twitter all the time go to a bunch of shows and travel all the time. So if I see that they're going to a show, I'll consider going to a show because they're going to a show.
Right.
So like, I always consider that first. Who am I traveling with? Because it's also cheaper because I can like split a hotel with them.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, it's more safe that way, I feel like, too.
Yeah, exactly. My process is pretty similar. I also try to think if there's any of my local friends like in Toronto that can travel with me because, you know, it's nice to have someone like travel right from the Toronto airport to the destination. Just always having, you know, someone, you know, that will be by your side throughout the whole coming to and from Toronto. So it's definitely something I think about. So you found your friends, you found your posse for your trip. Next is saving for the trip and preparing for that in itself. some things that Sammy and I consider and like to do when we're saving up for a trip is definitely easier said than done, but we try not to like order a lot of food out.
Yeah. And we try.
Emphasis on try. Even though we get our sweet treat after every podcast.
Literally, after everyone.
Another thing I personally do is sacrificing smaller and like lower priority shows. So for example, before I used to go to like a lot of shows in the city because, you know, it's like, oh, you know, like $40 ticket here, $50 ticket here. It is obviously if you go to a show locally, you don't have to worry about hotels and like flights and stuff. But, you know, it is something to consider, like the little tickets here and there. If you go to them so often, it does add up.
Yeah, it does.
So I do try to sacrifice small shows in order to save for bigger trips.
Another tip that I have whenever like a show is like a tour is announced or something, I always just go on like Flight Hub and like look at my options of cities that I can go to and see like what's cheaper at the time, book my hotels and flights like early, like months in advance. Mm-hmm. And that's like the best way to get like cheap flights and cheap hotels.
Yeah.
And also like splitting it with people, like I said before.
When you're planning a trip, what's the first thing that you're like, okay, let's try to book this one first for you? Like flights, hotels, like what?
Usually hotels, because mm-hmm. those go up the most and those that's are true. Like get taken up the most. And it's also like the hardest to find. And like it's either like a hotel or Airbnb. I've done both. Both are good, mm-hmm. but it just depends on whatever is cheaper. I try not to stay in like a sketchy hotel or Airbnb. So like I'm willing to splurge a little bit more if it's like in a better area, closer definitely. To the venue. But definitely hotel first, because there's also like you can like book it now but then pay when you get there. Yeah. So that's what I like about that.
Yeah, I do that as well. Also, yeah, like you said, hotels get booked up really fast, especially when, you know, there's a lot of people traveling to a certain city for a show. A big example is like Taylor Swift. Hotels in Toronto
are so expensive during her Eras.
Exactly. So definitely book hotels and try to look at accommodations first if you're looking for travel.
So now after I figure out who I'm going with and how much money I want to spend, now I get into like preparing for the trip. So packing for a trip, I have an issue where I always do this last minute. Mm-hmm. And Pat knows this, I overpack so much. Even if I'm like going for like a weekend, I literally overpack
Sammy
so much.
Sammy is so crazy, guys. Like he'll post and be like, packing, and it's this big mega jumbo family size luggage, and then I'm like, how long are you gone for? And he's like, 2 days.
Like, because I'm trying to minimize this, like when I go to Chicago next week for Olivia, I'm going to only pack what I need,
right?
But I do have a problem with overpacking, so like I feel like Pat's better at this than I am. Like if you can pack light, only do carry-ons and a backpack, and so you don't have to pay for as many bag fees.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm like the complete opposite of Sammy. I plan my outfits like meal prep just because
That's so smart.
It's also easier because, you know, when you get settled into the hotel, if I have everything like enclosed it by day, I don't need to like scramble through and like try to find certain stuff.
That's smart. I should definitely do that.
It obviously is a little bit more effort and time you have to put aside before the trip, but I would definitely recommend it. And then that way you're not like scrambling, like basically packing only what you need, especially because for me personally, I like to shop when I'm traveling as well.
Me too.
So I kind of want to save a little bit of space for souvenirs and stuff like that.
That's going to be my goal, guys. I'm going to do that. I'm going to have only 5 outfits for the 5 days I'm going to be there.
Exactly. So those are some packing tips. And then here we are. We get to flight day, travel day, and we have arrived at our destination, wherever that may be.
A tip I have for if you're going on a trip, if you want to save money, if you're going to like a city with like a really good transit system, like a subway yes. system, a train system, definitely look at how you can get there. Because, like, I remember I went to New York for a concert. I went for Jingle Ball. And the last time I went to New York before that, I, like, took Ubers and it, like, was so expensive. But going on a train and subway saved me a lot of money. And, like, you just ask people to help you to get to where you want to be. But that's my tip for if you're saving money once you get there.
That's a good tip as well, because I'm a very Uber everywhere type of person when I'm traveling, just because I'm like, oh, the transit system's so confusing when you go to a new city and you're just looking at it and it looks so daunting. But like once you like actually look, it's like, okay.
Yeah.
It saves money too.
It saves so much money. If you can, another recommendation I would have is if you can find like a cheap hotel at least a little bit close to the venue, that will help you so much, especially if you're camping. Because
that's true.
If you stay at a hotel a little bit far away, camping will become a little difficult, I feel like.
Oh, yes, wait. You're hitting all the points that I'm forgetting. Yeah, definitely, if you're camping, consider a hotel near the venue, because especially if you're going to be taking shifts, which we'll be talking about in a minute, like, think about it, right? If, let's say, the hotel's 20 minutes away from the venue, you have to allot 40 minutes going to the hotel and coming back on top of, like, getting ready. So it's just, like, a lot.
It's a lot of time. And also, like, you would probably, like, want to Uber there or whatever. Mm-hmm. You're just going to add up. So you might as well just spend that extra money being able to, like, walk or a cheaper Uber to the hotel.
Exactly. So with that, let's get into the actual camping part. I have a question for you, Sammy, because I know when you camp, sometimes you and your friends pull up in, like, big blankets and tents and stuff. So, like, how do you go about that? Do you, like, buy it there?
We've done both. We mostly buy it there because, honestly, like,
you've traveled with a tent before?
One of my friends did. Yeah, I wasn't there, but when they were traveling, they brought our tent. But it didn't work out. They had to buy a new one anyways because it just, like, didn't work out. Uh-huh. But I usually buy them there. And then blankets and pillows are pretty cheap. Like, we literally get, like, $3 pillows, $3 blanket that we can have for the days and then, like, throw them out after. Mm-hmm. Or, like, donate them. We've donated them as well.
Right. So you get it from, like, Target
or yeah.
Okay. And the couple times I've camped, I've had friends that are just, like, from the city, so they just bring their own. So I've always just been curious, like, for other people who don't have that similar situation, like, how do they do it? So, yeah, definitely hit up the Targets and the Walmart. Once you have your supplies, it's time for the game plan, the actual execution. I know a lot of people have questions regarding, like, how does the actual camping part work? Are you just standing there the whole time? How do you go to the bathroom? How do you take a shower? Like, how does all of that work? So we're just going to be speaking on, like, based on our experiences. One thing that me and my friends do when we camp is we take essentially shifts. So even if, let's say, the last time I camped, it was just me and my friends, so just two of us. We try to, like, already talk to the people around us in line. Definitely being aware of your surroundings in, like, all aspects, starting
with friends with people around you.
Exactly, because that's just, you have to talk to the people around you.
Especially if it's only two of you, like, then if it's, like, two people behind you, you guys can become friends and then take shifts with them, basically.
Exactly, which is exactly what me and my friend did. We made friends with the pair that came, like, around the same time as us. And we just, like, took shifts. Like, if we wanted to get dinner, you know, as long as there's someone representing, like, your party in line at all times, that's kind of just, like, the unspoken rule. And also making sure that you're not abusing that shift-taking rule. So, you know,
I usually, like, when me and my friends do shifts, it's usually, like, we say, like, 2 hours max if we're, like, showering or getting ready or whatever. Or if we're going to, like, a dinner or a restaurant, like, 2 hours is kind of, like, the thing.
And another thing is, depending on how many people are in your party, you definitely can't have, like, if there's six of you guys, one person in line and then, like, the other five away for, like, 6 hours. You know, it doesn't really work like that. So just try to, you know, play it by situation.
Be fair. And, but it works out usually most of the time.
So. Exactly. But, yeah, definitely be aware of, like, the people who are in front of you and behind you, because if those are your, like...
Yeah, those are the people who matter the most.
Like, they will vouch for you.
They will vouch for you. The people who are, like, 10 people behind you don't, like, they can't really see if you're there or not, but the people in front of you and behind you are the ones who are going to, like, help you out and stuff, so make friends with them for sure.
Mm-hmm. And also another thing I personally do is I take a little, like, selfie, like a picture of myself in the line when I get there, just as extra proof, because depending on, you know,
the fandom, leading the line,
there's a lot of things that can be thrown at you. So if you have that, like, concrete proof, like, we got here at this time, I think I've even shown some people, like, my Uber ride where it's like, I got to this venue at this time kind of thing. So that goes into the whole opinions on line leader and what do you think is the best lining up system that you've experienced. So you can talk a little bit about that.
For the shows that I've, like, actually camp for, I was never the line leader for any of them. I've been line leader for, like, smaller shows. Actually, no, that's a lie. I was line leader for Olivia Rodrigo on the Sour Tour twice.
Right.
Yeah. It's a lot of work, but I was very satisfied when I was line leader because I was helping out everyone. And that way everyone was, like, going to help me out. Like, I remember I went to go, like, get dinner or whatever, and, like, there was, like, a situation going on, and, like, people were, like, I don't remember, there was just, like, a lot of things happening, and I remember people were, like, defending me, being like, he was here, like, he's literally running the line and stuff. I like being the line leader sometimes, but sometimes the drama is crazy when it comes to line leaders. But I definitely think a line leader is needed. I think someone needs, especially if it's, like, a huge fandom and there's a lot of people camping, there needs to be a line leader so that, like, number systems can be in place, because that's the best thing that you can do when you're camping. Number systems and, like, someone to, like, lean on to, kind of, if something goes wrong, because right. that's, like, a big role when it comes to camping. I think it's important.
Exactly, because even though technically fan line leaders is an unofficial line, you kind of have to have someone, quote, in charge of the entire group, especially when it comes to talking with the venue security and, like, the staff and stuff. It is important to have that kind of leader. But with that, you have to ensure that if you are the first person showing up to the venue, or whoever is the line leader needs to be a fair line leader as well. Just because you're the first person that got there to the venue doesn't mean you can hold spots for, like, 20 people, you know?
You can't do that.
You definitely have to play fair, even if it's like your friends and stuff. It is tough, but, you know, there are other people to consider as well that are doing the exact same thing as you. So yeah, definitely be fair. And like Sammy said, a numbering system is really good. You know, basically someone has a Sharpie and you put the number. When you arrive, you go up to the front of the line and they'll give you a number on your wrist. Most of the time, the number system does work. And usually by the time you get, like, official numbers, if there is some for the tour that you're going to, it's like it's very similar.
Yeah.
So
there's definitely going to be, like, one or two people not trying to follow the line numbers or whatever. There's nothing really you can do. Just be respectful, play it safe, play it nice, and you should be okay.
Because at the end of the day, you guys are all working towards the same outcome, you know? You all want to have a good time. It's a very long, hard process, but you guys are all dedicated fans. So yeah, definitely play it by situation. I know you could run into some hard-headed people, but just be respectful because you guys are all fans. And I'm sure the artists that you guys are camping for wouldn't wish...
Yeah, they wouldn't want drama. They wouldn't want... to anyone to fight or anything like that.
Exactly. And the last thing, I know I personally get questions from, especially my parents, and the question is, how do you pass the time? Because even though you can take shifts, you are still spending a hefty amount of time just, like, outside sitting there. So Sammy, what do you usually do to pass the time?
Well, usually when I camp, I'm with my friends, and most of the time they're friends that I don't see that often, so we always, like, just catch up. Mm-hmm. I remember when I was camping for Billy at the Forum when she did encore shows, we were, like, literally playing music on a speaker and dancing and running around. We played games and we just, like, chilled in the tent. Yeah, it's pretty fun when you're with friends. You can, like, do a lot. But if the weather is cold, because I've camped in cold weather, it's awful. Mm-hmm. But when it's, like, nice out and you're with your friends, it's pretty chill. We, like, play games, dance, stuff like that. What do you do?
I don't know. It depends, again, on the weather and then, like, what part of the year is it? Because I know one time when I camped, I was, like, mid-semester, so I actually popped on my laptop and was just doing homework. It was a little bit hard to focus, but me and my friend were just locked in. We're like, okay, let's just be a little bit productive so that the time will go by faster. Downloading movies, or I'm, like, editing a video or something. Just trying to do something productive that can, like, make the time go by faster. I don't know, for me, I've never actually camped with a big group of people who I knew previously. I've camped in a big group before, but it's like we all met while camping, which is obviously still, you know, just as great. And, you know, we're just, like, kind of getting to know each other. But then, you know, after the icebreakers, there's still kind of like, okay, now what?
Yeah.
Just, like, twiddling my thumbs. I also do try to sleep, but it's so hard.
It is so hard.
I get so jealous of people who can just, like, sleep.
That's
for
me.
Like,
if I sleep and, like, it's nighttime and it's, like, chill and it's, like, nice out, I'm good. I can sleep for, like, a couple hours.
Ugh, so jealous. I just can't. Even though I'm so tired, it's just, like, I'm outside. So it's, like, I don't know. My body can't do it.
But I have a problem. I steal all the blankets, steal everything, and everyone gets mad at me. But, yeah.
That's so funny. So with that, Sammy, is there, like, a memorable camping experience that you want to share and just kind of explain, like, what went well and what went wrong?
The longest time I've camped and the craziest time I've camped was for Billie Eilish at the Encore shows. It was, like, December 2022. There was 3 shows. Fans started camping 2 weeks ahead of the shows.
2 weeks?
2 weeks, yeah. It was crazy. There was so much drama. And obviously, since I'm from Toronto and the shows were in LA, it was hard. I can't camp 2 weeks. Just, I actually cannot. The line leader started a system where, like, they'll save one number per group, per tent.
Oh.
So, like, because, like, there were so many people who couldn't fly out.
Right.
You know what I mean? But they wanted to be with their friends or whatever.
Yeah.
So they started a system that was, like, you can save one number per group. And that was, like, the line leader, and everyone followed it. Eventually, like, for the third show, like, the venue just didn't care. They're like, we're not following any numbers. It's kind of just first come, first serve. We ended up getting barricade 2 out of the 3 nights because of all the drama. The second night, I was just so over it. I was like, okay, guys, I'm just going to do backup pick. But, like, actually, like, camping with my friends was fun because Billy shows are always, like, oomphcella for me. I know, like, everyone. So I was just, like, we were just running around dancing, like I said before. But, like, actually, like, getting numbers and going in was pretty stressful because everyone was, like, cutting and there was just so much drama. It was one of the best trips ever just because I love Billy and those shows are so special.
Right.
But there was just a lot of drama. What about you? What's your, like, favorite camping story?
Honestly, my most memorable one, which I've talked about in earlier episodes, was when I camped for P1 last year in Pennsylvania, and that was literally in the beginning of February, so it was cold, like -20 at least. Me and my friend Kaylia, we pulled up with nothing. We didn't shop for blankets or anything. Like, we didn't have a tent. We just had hand warmers, which lifesaver. Luckily, we made friends with two girls that, like, had a mini tent, and they even let us, like, take turns with their tent.
Aww, that's nice.
That's so sweet. They're the sweetest ever. Besides the obvious cold, the line was actually very organized throughout the whole thing, which was shocking just because I just wasn't expecting it to go that smooth. And I'm a person where I don't want to be pessimistic, but when I am camping, I'm like, I won't believe that I'm barricaded until I'm actually there.
Yeah, literally, because you never know.
You never know. And it's like, even though you have that number, like number, we were like number 13 and 14, and the barricade was like really wide in this venue. So my friend was like, don't worry, you know, we're going to be barricaded. It's like, no, I will not believe it until I see it. Because you never know. People could start cutting and then all of a sudden you're not. So like, I won't believe it. So in the moment, I was just like, oh my gosh, like I need this time to go by faster. I'm just going through it. Like, is this even worth it anymore? But luckily, all the fans were super nice. You know, everyone was just so cold. So we were just trying to be as fair as possible. Even like when we did first go into the venue and do like security and stuff, the lines kind of started getting like jumbled up. Like a good amount of people cut in front of me and Kaylia. But then literally the line leaders were like, nope, like they were here before you guys and like even told us to move forward, even though me and Kaylia were like,
oh, that's so
gonna
nice.
Take the L. So it was like really nice. Like everyone was very fair, and we even talked to the venue security, and like at this very rare occasion, the venue security like walked us in, like super, like they followed our number system and was like, okay, 1, 2, 3, which doesn't happen too
often.
That
doesn't happen.
You can't bank on the venue security like working with the fans at all times, but we got lucky this time. Other than the cold and the weather, it was worth it. I'm very grateful that the number system worked well because it was like our hard work, you know,
literally
had a good outcome.
Camping in the cold is so difficult.
I know. I don't think I've ever camped out in peak summer where it's like really hot. So like, have you?
I have once for Harry Styles, and it was actually really fun.
Really?
Because everyone was like, it was nice out.
That's true. Like summer nights are like, yeah, it's not too bad. So you prefer the
summer.
But
when it's cold, it's miserable. Like no one's talking. You're just sitting in the
exactly.
Tent, like, just like
just shivering.
Shivering and yeah.
Buying hot chocolate
literally.
Just to keep your hands warm.
Literally.
In conclusion, like, I feel like traveling and camping for shows isn't for everyone. You definitely have to have some like physical, mental preparation for it. But I think if it's for an artist that you really love,
it's
so worth it. Like we always have been saying this season, just take the opportunities if you can. You might even make a new friend out of camping.
Literally, I've made so many new friends just from camping.
Me too. Some of my best friends, literally. And now we go to like every tour.
Literally,
together.
We go to shows together now.
So, yeah.
Literally, the people who I'm staying with at Olivia I met through camping.
See, like, camping brings people together.
It literally does.
It's like trauma bonding.
It literally is.
And that's all the time we have for today. Until next time, I'm Pat.
I'm Sammy.
And this has been Let's Talk Tour.